You may remain standing for the reading of the Gospel as we hear from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, as a question comes out of Jesus to the disciples and a confession that they make as well. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of death will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. And again, thank you to the choir for joining us this morning. It's beautiful. Let us join in prayer once again. God of Miriam and Moses, you are our help from age to age. Accept our worship, our living sacrifice, and transform us by your Spirit, that being many members of one true body, we may dare to pray together. In the name of Christ the Lord. Amen. The gospel reading this morning holds within it the very center, in a confessional manner, the very center of what our faith is. "You are the Christ," Peter says. And so this morning I want us to work within some metaphors and some words. And there's three words that stand out to me. The first is anchors. The second is names. And the third is keys. I'm going to have us look at or think about anchors for a moment. And likely my last fishing story of the summer, which is, I think I've given two or three, and I don't fish anymore, which is remarkable. But I want us to think for a second about anchors. And a story that is in our family, or at least for me as a child, is being up on the lake with my grandpa fishing with my cousins and my uncles on a rather small boat. I mean, at least for the people that it held within there, space was limited. And oftentimes when we would go out fishing, oftentimes on Lake of the Woods, we would set ourselves on one, at least one of the shorelines, and be one of the many boats that are out there following along in the waves, which was what my grandpa would call the walleye chop. We would just drift along, and if the chop is moving just right, if the waves and the wind is moving just right, we would find ourselves moving at what is trolling speed, and we could just have our lines in the water, kick back in whatever corner of the boat we could find, and just drift away and let the fish do all the work. But some days when it was calm enough, and on a big lake it's remarkable, when it's calm enough, my grandpa would throw the anchor out on the front of the boat, anchor us down, so we'd find ourselves, especially if we were on a sandbar, find ourselves in about 8 feet of water, and we would change our lures out and put something on that we could cast and reel and do a little bit different fishing, not letting the wind do the work, but letting us sit and do this work ourselves, casting and fishing, which every time my cousin Anthony and I would cross our lines, Because when you get a couple kids in the boat casting at the same time, not only are you afraid of that hook that is flying through the air, but it is bound to happen that those two kids cross their lines like this. And then my dad says, hold it, stop, don't reel in yet, let me fix this. And all these fishing rods are getting swapped around. As we are casting out, we find ourselves on whatever corner of the boat, finding a little different perspective as that little bit of wind that might blow around or might shift over the hour that we're there. The boat is anchored, the front of the boat tied to that one point. But as that little slight breeze moved, not enough to move us with a walleye chop, would move our around, and I could see, I just remember slowly the perspective would change, looking at kind of the Canadian border on one side, and you just kind of move around and follow the tree line, still casting, still catching my cousin Anthony's line. And I'm out looking over the water, and then there's the choir. Then I see the choir. And then it moves back around, all around, centering around this one anchored point. This is a helpful image, I believe, to what we look at within the scripture today of what is that anchoring point for us in our journey, in our faith, the peace that holds us amidst the wind that might blow, amidst the different perspectives or what our life might bring. There's something that holds us in one spot. Now, names. Jesus has been moving through different regions and sets himself in Caesarea Philippi and asks the questions of the disciples, who do you say I am? Now, if that question was left for us, I think it could be a moment of complete vulnerability. Who do you say I am? I don't want you to respond right now. Please don't. If I was asking that for myself. We like to think of ourselves maybe with the titles that we're given, with the education that we may have or the diplomas that hold us or a persona that we've been building out through time, something that is holding our image for the public. But as soon as we leave that question for others in our midst, we get a response that can might be beyond or underneath what we are maybe hoping for. Who do you say I am? And when Jesus asks this question, it becomes not so much formative for him, but formative for the disciples that are following. Because the question comes out, and they're a little bit sheepish in how to answer. Who do you say I am? Well, I've heard some people say that you're kind of like Elijah, or kind of like John the Baptist, or I heard that one guy way off in the distance say Jeremiah. It might have been a slip of the tongue, I'm not quite sure, but I've heard a few things about what people call you. But Jesus asks the question directly to them. I'm not concerned what other people are saying right now. I'm asking you, who do you say I am? And Peter, the one that's always quick to chime in, shares, you are the Messiah. And that's a bold statement for a community of people that have been waiting, for a faith tradition that's been waiting for that Messiah to come, for these words to ring out from within them, that you are the one that we have been waiting for. It is you. You are the one that we have been in this long standing with all of our ancestors, longing for this Messiah to come, and we see it in you. The disciples have been moving around with Jesus, getting to see the one that has been moving through the region, doing miraculous things, and they're getting clued in to this one. And the word comes to the disciples. The question comes to the disciples. You have seen what I've been about. You have traveled with me. We've been on some high points and some low points. We've laughed together. We've cried together. But the question comes to you, who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah. You are the one that is coming to save us. You are the one that is promised. You are the one that becomes the anchor to our whole life and our faith. amidst the toil that might move around us, the way the wind might blow or does not blow at all, and we just slowly drift when we want to be getting that good momentum while we're fishing. You are the very center, the one that grounds us. You are the point wherever we may wander, wherever we may move in the world. You are the one. And in this story, we have that naming taking place, the name that Peter gives to Jesus. You are the Messiah. But also the naming that comes to Peter, because before this, Peter is known as Simon. And here we have this moment of name being changed. Peter, the rock, you are the one on which, or this phrase, this one you call out is the one on which we will build the church. We hear today, as Ray read from Exodus, the story of Moses, this child that is found within this basket that has not yet been named, and Pharaoh's daughter finds this child and gives him a name, Moses. We read throughout Scripture of names taking place where there's transformations or identity changes within a person, and their name changes from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. We read stories of the power of names as Eli's sons, who are wildly corrupt, hold these names that are, I can't remember what they are exactly right now, but if you read within the stories, these ones that are these powerful names that say one that is not loved or one that is continuing to move against what God is doing. Like, these names hold something within them that is completely powerful. And in this story, once again, Jesus looks at Simon, recognizing the words that are shared, that transformation is taking place, that everything in the world is going to be continuing to move in a different manner, that this one is the Messiah, that on these words, on this anchor that is set out, on this point that holds us and grounds us, on this confession, we hear that is its solid place. That is the rock. That is upon that where Peter receives this new name. And by calling Jesus the Messiah, that shapes their whole life and outlook of what it looks like to move within the world. And Jesus is keen on these words that Peter gives and says, You've said right, and it's not on your own part, but you've been tuned in to what God has been doing and as God has been speaking to you, because it comes from the Father, these words to you today, that you are the Messiah. Holding this anchor point for us, this center point that moves amidst a lake that maybe the wind will go wherever it was, or the way our lives might move within the world, having this point that we always lock ourselves down, asks the question for us as well. Who is Jesus to you? I hope that gives us pause and to think about our lives. Maybe all the things that beg for our allegiances, all the things that kind of lean into us and ask for all of our attention, to follow a line or pursue a different way, that compete within ourselves for our attention or where our attention might lie, that we can still hold to the center amidst the waves moving and say, but it is the Messiah, the one that I hold to. It is Jesus the Christ, the one that is coming to save, the one that I hold my allegiance to, the one that I continue to follow because it shapes all of who I am. And I think that's a big part of this identity that the disciples are living into. When they get to call Jesus the Messiah, they recognize that their identity is changing as well, that what they live into is now a completely profound and powerful way in the world. And that gets to the third word. If we talk about anchors and we talk about names, we talk about keys. We have a driver in the house, a new driver in the house. Yeah. Everyone cheer on Ezra. He needs some pep, and maybe this is my moment of public apology for the way I may have acted inside of the car the first time I handed the keys over. Ezra's doing a great job, both in his driving skills and in his ability to talk Dad down from the anxiety that he might hold while sitting in the passenger seat. If you've been in this spot before in your household of handing keys over, both as a parent or a loved one handing keys to a new driver, or as a new driver receiving these keys for the first time, it's a moment where you recognize not only this power that we're maybe handing over, because Ezra, you will be participating in the life of this family by driving people around, but also the power that we hold as we get behind a wheel for the first time. The engine turns on. The responsibility that is held within a brake pedal and a gas pedal. Some of it we take it for granted if we've been driving for quite some time. The power we have in a steering wheel, responsibility within that and where that car can go and what it can do. As one handing over the keys, we know that we're entrusting someone with a gift that's also asking great responsibility. And the one getting the keys, that we have a new and profound responsibility for something. And when Jesus hands over these keys, his metaphorical keys to Peter, these words of this is where we will build this church upon this statement that Christ is the Messiah. We read into this Jesus entrusting the church with the power and responsibility and the gift of the church, which is a way of being a body, the body of Christ in the world today. And Paul gets to that as we read in Romans 12 today. This body that moves together. This is our act of worship. Very unique in the way that we are, but we move within the world as one body, the hands and feet of Christ moving in the world. And while we often might refer to the body of, refer to church as this place that we come to on Sunday mornings, which in its way is a good thing because it's a gathering place of us gathering and in worshiping the Messiah, the Christ, the God that loves us so deeply. But I do find that it's better perspective to see the church as a community of believers who move in and through all the places and times of the world around us. The church as the people, as the body, not just in one location, but the church that moves in all locations, holding the responsibility of being the church everywhere that we go. And Jesus is empowering the disciples, empowering those who follow to build the church and make disciples of Jesus Christ. But what we hear when these keys are handed, where these words are given, now to you, church, whatever you bind together will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loosed. You are my companions on the way, Jesus is essentially saying. Join in with me, because there's great work to be done. But then Jesus says those next words, the last words in our reading this morning, but don't tell anyone just yet that I'm the Messiah. It's kind of hard to hear that when we feel like we just got the keys. I have the ability to drive, so my plastic card says I can. But it is like having a permit to drive, because you can drive, but you just can't drive anytime you want. You still have to wait for a moment. And what I think Jesus is speaking about here, if we can look at it just with two levels in handing these keys over and just holding for a moment before you go out and just drive all over the block and the town, we recognize that Jesus is having them hold by just sharing with everyone that he's Messiah, because he has a specific plan in mind for his own life and ministry, and it's building. Things are building over time, and it doesn't want it to be truncated just yet. And the disciples were part of this plan, whether they knew it or not. And part of the plan was, of course, timing. Jesus was saying to the first followers that it wasn't the time just yet for them to announce to everyone that what they had been given to know, that the time would come later. For now, it's just sustaining knowledge for you to know that I am the Messiah, because now we're starting to build something. But for us, it doesn't work the same way. We don't hear these words and hear Jesus say, it isn't the time, stay inside, don't go tell anyone just yet. Because we hear it a few chapters later, go and tell. Jesus is saying it's opening up. Go and tell, take this formation of the church and bring it to the world. So I wonder if we can maybe rehear it for us this morning just a little bit. It's been attributed to Francis of Assisi that he shared the words, or it was attributed to him anyway, the words, Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. It's a phrase that we kind of throw out to say, let our actions speak for us. But I wonder if we could hear these words this morning, that maybe it's not always the words that we share that go out and tell, let words be leaving our mouth. Maybe we can hold that as backup for a little bit, but maybe the first things that we should do, recognizing that the center that we have is anchored in Christ, that we, through time, have been part of this great tradition of the church that is holding upon these words that Christ is the Messiah and been given keys to something to move within the world in such powerful ways, that we have the opportunity to preach always, to use words if necessary, that maybe if we look at this again, that maybe this is Jesus warning to us to not be so casual with his name. Don't tell unless you're willing to live it out, to follow the ways of Jesus that moves within the world. Don't announce if you can't reflect. Don't bear witness with your words if your habits won't witness to him too. As we read through this text this morning, we see how God has been moving through Joseph and to Moses. God is present with a people in captivity. We hear through Paul's letter to the Romans of what worship looks like and what it means to be the body and how God's presence and grace is always surrounding us to hold to this thread. And as we hear in the gospel as well, that Jesus is empowering us as a church to live out, to, as we're given the keys, to not just say that we're drivers and that I can drive, but to hold that responsibility, to get behind the wheel and start moving out within the world in such a way that shares the love, the grace, the joy of the body of Christ. It's maybe our words for us this morning, anchors, names, keys, things that we've been given. May we live into them boldly. Amen.